What's up, Christ community? Danny Jacobson here. May 24th, Project 4-4. Today is our second to last day of Proverbs, and I hope that you're getting a sense that God is making you wiser, and I hope that you are getting a foundation of what true wisdom really looks like. And so today, God spoke to us about a few more topics, and usually when I read my Bible, I'll write down a verse of something that I feel like God put on my heart, something that I feel like God is speaking to me about. And today I wrote down Proverbs 25, 6, and 7. It says, "Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, 'Come up here,' than for him to humiliate you in before a noble man." Now, I think this is a great verse about humility. Solomon is telling us that honor is better given to us than it is assumed under the presence of a king. I think that is overwhelmingly challenging. However, what struck me most about this verse was the way that we can see that the Old Testament scriptures inform the mind and the hearts of the New Testament authors, even Jesus. So I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it again, and I want you to listen, and I want you to see if you can hear the echo of a teaching from Jesus about humility, okay? Proverbs 25, 6 and 7. We're looking for an echo of Jesus' teaching about humility. "Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among great men. It is better for him to say to you, 'Come up here,' than for him to humiliate you before a noble man." Did you hear that? Maybe you didn't. That's okay. However, this made me think of Luke chapter 18, which is when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. Those were Jesus' words. Later in chapter 25, it obviously wasn't in our reading today. It says this: "If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." In Romans 12, we see also Paul is quoting scripture from the Old Testament. He adds his own advice at the end of it when he says, "Don't be overcome by evil, but be overcome by good." So a point that I'm trying to make in this is that the great men and women of faith in scriptural times and throughout the church history have always been people who live lives that are saturated in God's word. This is why God tells us to meditate on the word day and night, and to not let the word of the law depart from our mouth. The reason he says that is so we will be careful to do everything written in it. And just like when Mary was visited by an angel, the prayer she prayed afterwards, it was so much a part of her that when she opened her mouth, scripture just poured out of it. And when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, his responses were all quotations from the book of Deuteronomy. When Stephen was dragged before the Sanhedrin and placed on trial to save his life, his defense was a recitation of the Old Testament. When Paul was called to explain the mysteries of God dealing with his people to the Christians of Rome, his mind was immediately drawn to the Old Testament. From the deep reservoirs of Old Testament scriptures, we see that Paul draws his concepts and often his words. I have a quick story that is relevant to this. I remember in college, there was this kid who I had the opportunity to lead him to Christ, and right after he got saved, I remember asking him if he wanted to read the Bible with me, and he wanted to go through a book. I was just willing. I wanted to go through Mark with him, and I'll never forget his response, because I thought it was just the most innocent response that revealed that he had no idea of the power of God's word. He said, "Oh, actually, I've already read the Bible when I was in high school." And I remember just thinking, okay, you've already read it, so you're good for your life. And that was what he was assuming. Just read it once like a novel and you're good. I thought it was super funny. He eventually read the book of Mark with me, and now he definitely understands the power of the Bible. So, a quick recap of what we talked about today. As we walked through our reading a bit more, we talked about the importance of really saturating your life with the Word of God. And so I'm going to challenge you to memorize God's Word. Be someone who puts it on your heart. Memorize it. Think about it. Meditate it. Pray on it. Thank God for it. It is amazing sometimes when you're just memorizing some scripture and you ask God, God, reveal to me some thoughts about this. What do you really mean in this? And then God speaks to you and you just have a great day of meditation. When you have God's word placed on your heart, the power to do what it says comes over you. Not only that, but you have a resource to go to when you're struggling. When you are hurting or in sin, you have God's promises that are on your heart to remind you that you have been adopted into sonship. You are his daughter. You are his son. He loves you. And the reason we meditate on the word is to remind us of that simple importance that we so often forget about. God works in for the good in all things for those who love him. That is a verse that I have memorized, and about once a week I have to remind myself that God does that. It is a great picture of just meditating on the word, and a verse that I've memorized that I've used to encourage myself with. And so my prayer for you is that you memorize and you meditate on God's word, and while being changed, you would be used by our Creator through your memorization, through your meditation, just like Solomon, just like Jesus, just like Paul. I pray that you would be a man or a woman who meditates on the word and lets it speak to you again and again and again. So, over and out, May 24th. Hope you have a great day. Be encouraged, and may the Lord surprise you.